Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers have a cloud hanging over them. Meanwhile, the Packers post record profits. But we kick off the show featuring an interview with Kendra Minert of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about a couple of Packers linebackers in a little bit. But to kick things off today, we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have Kendra Minert of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Ms. Minert, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. And I just kind of wanted to start things off today by asking you about the unique nature of your job. I want to know what is it like being an entertainment writer in a place like Green Bay, Wisconsin? Because I think in the small city in all of American professional sports where the team is so deeply connected to the town, I think you almost must be a sports writer kind of by default.
It is. It's almost like having a separate beat within my normal beat of just Packers-related entertainment because it's like Packer fans. You know, if you start looking around for a connection, you can almost always find one relatively easily, and it seems to work that way with Packer connections to entertainment, you know, whether it's Clay Matthews, you know, filming the opening sequence for Sunday Night Football, which he did last week, or, you know, Dorsey Levins is out on tour with Tyler Perry and Madea on the Run. There's a lot of connections, and that makes it really fun for Packer fans and also people that live in Green Bay, because it sort of gives us that, you know, kind of an in to Hollywood, if you will.
Well, I kind of wanted to ask you about during this interview about a couple of the recent articles you published to tie it into the recent news here lately. So let's do that. You alluded to Clay Matthews and Sunday Night Football, and there's a change made there this season. Could you kind of go into that and tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, Carrie Underwood is again doing the theme song, but it will be a new song this season. It's going to be called Oh Sunday Night. They have not given us a sample of it yet, but it's based on the music of her duet with Miranda Lambert called Something Bad. And so it replaces Waiting All Day for Sunday Night, which was, of course, based on the Joan Jett I Hate Myself for Loving You song. And is, as is tradition, they always have some NFL players that join Carrie at the start for the opening. And for the fifth year in a row, Clay Matthews is again going to be part of that.
Very cool, very cool. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. I suppose, will we find out before the season starts, or do they let teasers go or anything like that?
They usually do put out a teaser video a little bit closer to the start of the season, and they did post something, too, just a short snippet of Clay in front of the cameras, you know, doing the big guns and the hair thing. So,
well, we'll look forward to that. One of your recent articles published just, was it last Friday? You can tell me more, but you published an article about the iconic statues of Vince Lombardi and Curly Lambeau outside Lambeau Field. Can you give a little synopsis of that article and what you found out?
Yeah, myself and photographer Evan Siegel decided to just pick a normal weekday in Green Bay and go hang out by those two statues out front of Lambeau and just kind of see who drifts by on a typical Thursday afternoon. And it is amazing because, you know, when you live here, you drive by those statues and they're just part of life. But when you go there, there's people from all over. I mean, there was a woman originally from Iceland, somebody from Colombia, people from North Carolina. And for them, those, you know, to get their photos taken in front of those statues was a really big deal. For a lot of them, it was their first time at Lambeau. We ran into a couple that had just gotten engaged a couple minutes earlier up in the atrium. A couple that did their honeymoon 49 years ago, and the husband insisted on a quick beach tour to Packers practice, and they were back now for his 70th birthday. So everybody has a story.
Remarkable. It's not even training camp yet in Lambeau Field, still a destination in the dead period of the off season. I think that shows the power that this team has over not just the community, but Packers community nationwide, worldwide even. But we're talking to Kendra Minard of the Green Bay Press-Gazette here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV on a Monday morning. Kendra, I know there's a movie being made that has a connection to the Packers. Can you give us an inside scoop on what that's all about?
Yeah, that's a film, a romantic comedy, believe it or not, called The 60-Yard Line. And it was filmed mostly last year at a house that sits right next to the stadium. And that was exciting for the city to have a film crew come out, and they used some local extras. They were looking for local Viking fans to be the bad guys in the movie. They put out a casting call for a cow that would fit through the front door that they could use in a scene in the kitchen. So it was a lot of fun, but there are several Packer players that are playing themselves, John Kuhn, Mark Tauscher, Amon Green, I believe. And that film is due out sometime during the season later this year.
Cool. Looking forward to that as well. Another connection to the Packers in the world of entertainment happens on a reality television show where Aaron Rodgers' brother Jordan appears on The Bachelorette. I know you write a weekly column on the show, so for someone that's never seen it, what references to Aaron Rodgers happen on the show?
It's funny because, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers' brother, so it's not, the connection is a little loose, but I think for Packer fans, there's so much interest, you know, because it's another way to sort of get to know Aaron. And when they announced that he was going to be one of the contestants, people were like, oh, I can't wait for the hometown date, which is when it gets towards the end of the season and the finalists, Bachelorette goes to each of their hometowns and meets the family. So people were already like anticipating, you know, will we get to see Aaron Rodgers at that point? And Jordan Rodgers appears to be one of the front runners to win this thing, and has been making lots of headlines so far. So it's been interesting. But I've had people email me and say, I can't believe I'm watching The Bachelorette. But I feel, as a Packers fan, I just have to, so.
It has that influence over Packers fans, which is interesting. Kendra, yeah. With training camp coming soon at the end of July, Packers fans will be coming to Green Bay from out of town. I was hoping maybe you could suggest some entertainment options in town this summer for those looking maybe to go, but to practice by day and maybe looking to do something a little different by night. What's happening this summer?
Lots going on. For people that are coming in, like the first part of August especially looks busy. We have the Tall Ship Festival down on the Fox River. which happens every couple of years here, and it draws huge crowds. That's August 5th through the 7th. We have Kiss playing here on August 10th. Jim Gaff again on August 8th. So for people that want to go out and do a show after a day of training camp, there's those options. Our Farmers Market on Broadway, which happens every Wednesday night, is a really, really fun, kind of like a big social event of the middle of the week. Lots of great food and drink. And so that's every Wednesday. If you're coming with kids, you'd want to do the new zoo, Bay Beach Amusement Park. Every Friday night, we have Fridays on the Fox. That's right downtown on the river. They have a band. They pack the city deck. It's a fun time.
Nice, nice. I might have to make special note that Jim Gaffigan's coming to Green Bay, so I love him, so that's really cool. Before we let you go, Kendra, as we get closer here to the start of the season, I'm just curious. I'm wondering your expectations of the Packers as a football team this season. Wondering if you have any sort of predictions, just for fun, if nothing else.
You're asking the entertainment writer?
I am. I mean, like I said here, just for fun, whether, you know, in a general term, I mean, do you expect them to be successful, a good season? We don't have to go into statistics here, but I mean, what are your expectations just from watching them from afar?
I think expectations are always high every, every year. And I think more so this year because people are so excited that Jordy Nelson will be back. And I think people think that that's, definitely going to sort of be that edge and get everything back on track. So I think like everybody else does, that it's going to be a great season, and it's coming up really quickly.
Sounds good to me. I like where you're going with that, but it is getting close. Kendra, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Glad to have you as a guest on the show and talk a little bit. Like I said, the intersection between football and entertainment in Green Bay, I think that's a unique little beat that you cover. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. Greatly appreciate it, and loved having your insight on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great fun to speak with you.
Great. Thanks much, and have a good day. Take care. Kendra Miner to the Green Bay Press-Gazette joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Glad to have her join us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
All right. There has actually been quite a bit of news happening since our last episode of Railbird Central. Well, maybe not a lot, but a few notable things that we have yet to discuss on this show. And we'll start off with this one. The NFL plans to interview Packers linebackers Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers, a story first reported by former Packers beat writer Tom Pelissero, now of USA Today and also a prior guest on this show. Not just Matthews and Peppers, but also former Packers linebacker Mike Neal, as well as James Harrison of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Apparently just coincidence that all these guys are linebackers. No real, line connecting other than that. The report says that they plan to interview these players the day training camp starts. I don't know whether that means the first day of practice, because that there's technically a reporting date for the Green Bay Packers that always takes place the day before. All players have to be in town by the day before practice starts. That's when they, get things out of the way, like taking physicals and just some general meetings, and get them set up inside their dormitories there at St. Norbert College in De Pere, neighboring Green Bay, where they'll, spend the duration of training camp staying there, or at least the majority of it. That's when it's going to happen here. And if you've been following along with this in the media, kind of interesting that no Packers connection here, but I mean, just from the connection of that these players are going to be interviewed, James Harrison of the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of making waves a little bit on social media. If you've been watching SportsCenter, he sent out an Instagram photo or something. He's saying, you know, he'll do the interview, but it's going to be on his terms, on a day of his choosing, and demanding that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell be there, which this is kind of weird to me, why James Harrison is acting out about this. I know the NFLPA, the Players Association, has kind of put out a press release, or at least been had a representative talk to the media questioning why the NFL is doing this, whether they have any proof other than just some allegations, by a guy named Charlie Shy that was, the subject of the documentary on Al Jazeera. And, you know, I guess my response to that is, you know, the one thing the NFL does have going for them, or their, you know, the one thing they can point to and say, you know, this is why we're doing it, is the Major League Baseball actually has suspended Taylor Teagarden of the Chicago Cubs, the one and only athlete that actually appeared in the documentary as, you know, getting drugs, you know, from this character or from an intermediary or whatever, and kind of admitting to drug use while on the documentary. He has been suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball, which is interesting. But he was the only player that actually appeared on screen during this documentary. The others were just mentioned and alluded to, like Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers. And, you know, I think people, you know, Packers fans are a little bit worried or, you know, kind of wondering, at least, are Matthews and Peppers going to be suspended? And I guess here's my take on it, is that I don't think anything's going to become of this because of the burden of proof. Obviously, the NFL wants to ask them about it. I mean, because it's pretty much their only recourse. But unless Matthews and Peppers come out and say, yeah, I did it, if they deny it, there's really nothing I don't think the NFL can do. I mean, because if you're going to suspend them, if you're going to fine them or whatever whatever might happen, whatever discipline they might hand down, there's got to be some sort of proof. I don't think allegations by one man who has since recanted, the story. I just don't think, you know, without failing a drug test that you can suspend these players. And here's one thing that no media outlet is really reporting on, and I'm not exactly sure why. I do understand it's a very complicated topic that probably goes beyond the understanding of anybody with, you know, it's these kind of things aren't common knowledge. I mean, if you take a look at the NFL's list of banned substances, there's like hundreds of drugs listed there, and it's hard to be knowledgeable of even one of them. But anyway, during the documentary that aired on Al Jazeera, at least in terms of, I believe Packers linebackers Mike Neal, who was a linebacker at the time, now he's a free agent, of course, because his contract expired, but, you know, was under contract with the Packers when it came out. Him and Peppers, I believe, are accused of using a drug called Delta 2, which is, I've looked at the NFL's list of banned substances, and it is not listed there. I'd like to see a journalist out there or somebody dig into this. Like, why is it not listed? And really, I mean, if it's not, I mean, again, here's another thing. Even if they were to be doing this drug, Delta 2 is apparently a synthetic steroid. you know, I don't, even if they were doing it, if it's not on the NFL's banned list of substances, I mean, what can you do if it's not? That's what makes this whole story kind of hair scratching, head scratching a little bit. To tell you the truth, I tend to believe the allegations, but again, I just think the burden of proof is so great that I don't think you can really suspend these players because there's no proof other than just some allegations by one guy whose reputation is not all that great, this Charlie Sly. So, you know, that's what's going to, you know, I don't think anything's going to come out of it. You know, I and it's a weird topic with these designer drugs. You know, if the drug makers are kind of always one step ahead of the testing, you know, again, I don't know what you can do. I don't know how you can suspend people because the burden of proof is so great. So I suppose this is a little cloud hanging over the Packers. You're going to continue to hear about it now for the next month. Until the start of training camp, when Matthews and Peppers are indeed, you know, interviewed about it, but I wouldn't expect much to come of it. So there you go. That's my own two cents. But it is what it is. Okay. So the other story in the world of the Green Bay Packers is they released their financial records to the media this past Friday. This all according to reports from the Packers themselves or the local media outlets. But the team recorded record profits this past season, which of course is notable as the Packers are the only team in the entire NFL to make their finances publicly available. And you know, what's remarkable about this is that the Packers are posting this record revenue and record profits, their net income, with money that the Title Town District hasn't even kicked in yet. You know, I think they're going to be making money hand over fist in a future couple of years. But I mean, that hasn't even, I mean, it sort of is kicked in terms of that they have the whatever, what is it, the Bass Pro Shop down at the, you know, the Highway 151 up there, but that so far is the only real tenant in the Title Town District. With others, you know, of course, this big and large development still to come with Hinterland Brewery and the hotel and those kind of things. Of course, the primary source of income for the Packers and every team in the NFL for that matter is the money from the national television contracts that, of course, coming from the broadcast partners like Fox, CBS, ESPN. Now they're starting to have these little deals with, you know, streaming that's going to be done on Twitter. Although that's going to happen this season for the first time. But anyway, you know, that's the national revenue, but helping matters in Green Bay. You know, why they posted record profit, I think is, you know, partially in changes made during recent years. The Packers are reaping the benefits of the expansion of the South End Zone a few years ago. You know, they added 8,000 seats to the South End Zone. They revamped the stadium's atrium. There's been a lot of renovations done there. In particular, the Packers Pro Shop, which, if you haven't been to Lambeau Field in a while, you'll know the Pro Shop now is absolutely huge. You know, two stories tall. The amount of clothing and memorabilia they have in there is simply astounding. And the amount of money people drop in there is astounding. And that's on top of, you know, the orders they do online and things like that. So you've got tons of revenue coming in from the Packers Pro Shop, new sources of revenue, I should say. You also have the new Packers Hall of Fame opened up in this past year. I think a lot of people are doing that tour, probably more so than usual, that they've moved it from the basement of Lambeau Field now to the first floor. so more people are seeing it. It's at eye level, and I think probably a lot more people doing that. To a lesser extent, the new restaurant they opened at Lambeau Field, 1919 Kitchen and Tap. The Packers also set records for stadium tours this past season. And so for me to mention these, what these are is these are all local streams of revenue that they don't have to share with other NFL teams. You know, they all teams share the big broadcast money that is, you know, like billions of dollars, you know, split up between, you know, all the NFL teams. But, you know, the things the Packers don't have to share are all the money they make locally, like stuff from the pro shop, the Hall of Fame, the restaurant, anything happening in the atrium, in addition to parking, you know, concessions, all those kind of things. Packers don't have to share that kind of money, and they're making more money every year, whether it's, you know, adding more seats to Lambeau Field, whether it's expanding the Lambeau Field atrium, and soon to come, the big portion of the Titletown District. And that's going to bring in money for years to come, as they, you know, the tenants pay rent on the property the Packers own. And, you know, they've only announced the three anchors so far. You know, they'll be the biggest ones. Like I said, Hinterland Brewery, the hotel they're building, and the sports medicine clinic there. But there's going to be smaller ones added in the future, kind of shopping options that, you know, appear to be added along Lombardi Avenue that haven't even been announced yet. So those will add even more revenue in future years. In addition to, you know, they are creating a park, and there will be renting condos and things like that as well. So all sorts of streams of revenue, both current and future, for the Green Bay Packers that puts them on solid financial footing for years to come. It, you know, at one point the Packers were, you know, in a little bit of a precarious situation financially before Lambeau Field was renovated in 2003, the project that Bob Harlan spearheaded. You know, before then, Lambeau Field and the Packers might have been in a little bit of financial crisis. But since that happened, and we're talking about, you know, going on more than a decade ago, where we're going to be approaching two decades eventually here, the Packers have been on solid financial footing and will be for the foreseeable future with all these things happening. So if you're a fan of the Green Bay Packers, you can be have solace in that, if nothing else. But that leads us into the next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, today on Monday, you know, we are in this dead period between the end of mini camp and the start of training camp, where, you know, players are on vacation here. There's no obligation for them to be at Lambeau Field or anything like that. There's no practice going on. There's no games going on. So, you know, NFL, you know, news is at a low point right now, more so than any time of the year. But the one thing we've got going today, there is one Packers connection, and that is that tickets for the annual family night practice go on sale today, June 27th at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. So in fact, just if you're watching the live edition of the show, 1 hour from now, get your credit cards ready or your wallets open or whatever. You can purchase tickets through Ticketmaster. So you can do it either online or via the phone. I'm not even sure if the Packers ticket office is open. You can do it in person, perhaps. I don't know. You'd have to go check that out. But there are no shortage of ways you can order tickets. And I believe they let you order, you know, several at a time, so you can buy for your whole family if you're interested in doing that. Family night, of course, is the annual practice being held at during training camp, the one that's held inside Lambeau Field, and the Packers create a game-like atmosphere where tickets are relatively cheap. I don't know, they're like $10 a piece, something like that. Again, I haven't looked at the ticket price off the top of my head. But it's something like that. What they try to make a game-like atmosphere very affordable for the type of people that are not on the Packers, you know, season ticket list that is so long. This is an opportunity for them to see the stadium, see Lambeau Field, in, you know, what is not a game, but as close to a game-like atmosphere as you could possibly get. And it is really cool. You know, it's kind of the marquee event of training camp, and one everybody looks forward to, including myself. So it's cool. They also broadcast it on television. If you live far out of town, can't make it, don't have tickets, whatever, it will be broadcast statewide and usually streamed at Fox 11 online as well. So looking forward to that when training camp starts. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on the show today. Go get your family night tickets on sale soon. And we'll see you on Wednesday for the next episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Kendra Meinert of the Green Bay Press Gazette for joining us, talking a little intersection between football and entertainment on the show today. My call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask on the show is that you give us a rating and a review on iTunes, because the show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So the one small thing we ask of you, if you could head to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating, a brief little review, doesn't have to be anything long, but it helps us get word out about the show and helps people find it. And shows that this is the best Packers podcast on the internet, at least in my opinion. But I'm biased. Anyway, we'd love if you could do that. Greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you on the next episode of Railbird Central every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, typically, at least it is during the season, at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcast and on demand later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Monday. We'll see you in a few days. I leave you today with a song called Colliding by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.